The Youth's Instructor. June 17, 1897. Go, preach the gospel, part 1. The Lord's commission to his people is, go, preach the gospel to every creature. As faithful watchmen, we are to sound the warning message of the peril that is soon coming. There must be no shirking of disagreeable duties, no selfish considerations. As soldiers of Christ, we must be true to our duties, and press into the ranks of workers. God's people must be standing girt with all the heavenly armor, that they may labor with all the capabilities he has given them to prepare people to stand in the day of God. Preaching the gospel includes more than sermonizing. And the work is not confined to the ministry. Thousands are idle who should be working in various ways for the salvation of souls. Those who ought to be carrying the truth to others spend altogether too much time in gatherings for their own benefit. Fields of labor are left unoccupied while the churches have too much done for them. This has made church members weak. They know the truth, but carry no burden for their perishing neighbors. Many could do a good work by carrying the light to the village and towns about them. This labor would make the church strong. Those who cannot go out into the field to work should remember that they must be imbued with the Spirit of God, that at home they may hold the fort. Self-denial, self-sacrifice, and self-control under difficulties are needed at every step. We must not expect to find ease and conveniences in our path. Christ has given us an example in this respect. He did not choose life's easiest places, as many of his professed followers have done. When educating his disciples, he did not gather for his audience those who knew the way, the truth, and the life. He seldom gathered his disciples alone to receive the words of eternal life. His voice was to reach the multitudes who were ignorant and in error. He placed himself in the thoroughfares of travel, where he could so broadcast the seeds of truth, and where the lessons given would reach the darkened understanding. He was the truth, standing with girded loins and dusty feet, with his hands ever outstretched to bless. And in words of warning, entreaty, and encouragement, seeking to uplift and save all who would believe on him. We are privileged in being workers for God in any capacity whatever. It is our duty to help where we can financially, although it may be but little that we can give. The masses must be reached. The gospel is to be preached to every creature. The message of entreaty must be borne to the poor as well as to those who have all their necessities supplied, who have plenty to eat and drink and wear, and who scarcely know what it means to hunger or thirst. This work we must do while pressing close to the great heart of infinite love. The sunshine of Christ's righteousness stamps his image upon the soul. His love was expressed without partiality and without hypocrisy. It was that healthful, hearty love which beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, entereth all things. This love is a divine love which nothing can quench. Faith and love blended bring all the heavenly graces in their train. In the possession of these, patience, kindness, affection, and perfect trust in God will be seen in the daily life. We shall manifest the meekness and lowliness of Christ, in bearing his cross, in wearing his yoke, in lifting his burdens. It will not answer for you to take hold of this work half-heartedly, dwelling all the time upon its discouraging features, your own helplessness, and the uncertainty of success. This is the reason that so many have failed. It is your privilege to go from your hours of pleading with God, and open up the ways that seem closed. The Majesty of Heaven spent much of his time in meditation by the seaside. Long before daybreak, ere the engrossing cares of the day began, his voice was heard in the mountains and groves, raised in earnest prayer to his Father in heaven. The question will doubtless arise in your minds, who is sufficient for these things? In your own strength you are not sufficient. You cannot go forth to engage in this work unless daily, yes, hourly, you draw nourishment from the living vine. Christ's words on this subject are clear and easily understood. He says, "Abide in me, and I in you." As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Mrs. E. G. White.